WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Own your action. Own your action. Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? No,
you
know it. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Good evening and welcome into this week four edition of Inside of Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. I'm your host, Jackson White. Joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter, and then, of course, your head coach of your Ben Davis Giants, Jason Simmons. So, Coach, last week you guys got a big win, 49-21, taking on Pike to go 2-1 on the season. So take us through what happened last Friday night.
Yeah, you know, I think when you go back to last Friday, it was important for us to start fast. You know, we felt like being able to get out of the gate was something that we needed to do, and we really kind of just sputtered a little bit. You know, defensively, we got a stop to start the game, got pinned down a little bit, you know, right around the 20-yard line. Then we had the first snap of the game goes over the quarterback's head, and it's like, well, not how you drew it up, you know. And then we went 3-and-out, and then we went down 7-0. And probably the best part about our guys is they just didn't flinch at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, we were able to drive the ball back down and get an answer. And then our defense scores for the third week in a row, gives us a little momentum shot. And really, I felt like once we got the lead, we just didn't look back. And you know, it's easy to say, well, you won 49-28. But there's some small detailed oriented things in there that we had to do better, that we wanted to see on film and see some growth. And you know, I think we saw some of those things. Our secondary, you know, came away with 3 interceptions. You know, I thought that was a big deal, especially with the change in quarterbacks, finding out about that change during pregame. When you look at the young man that they started, yeah, he's a sophomore. He was a big son of a gun, had a live arm. So we knew they were going to try and push the ball vertically a little bit more than what they had shown in the first 2 weeks of the year, and they did that. And I felt like our guys responded and answered the bell back there. We gave up some chunk plays still. But those guys are growing and getting better every day on the back end in the secondary. And then on the flip side of things, you know, we got to get our offensive line rolling. You know, they're big, they're physical. We got to get them in sync and get them rolling. And there were times where we did some good things Friday, and there were some times where we got to continue. You know, we put some things on film we got to continue to get better at. But, yeah, I felt like as a whole offensively, you know, we had the 2 turnovers. But I felt like we valued the football, got the football where it needed to be for the most part, and win. You know, we ended up with a couple of scramble drill touchdowns. That's something we rep in practice. And so to see that show up and our ability to go execute it was good. And then, you know, I thought defensively we really kept the run game in check. Their run game was something going into it that I thought could give us some trouble. But I thought we fit it fairly well for the most part. And then, you know, there were times where we tackled okay. We got to continue to get better in that area too. And when you look at our special teams, you know, we've had some difference-making plays on special teams so far this year too. So in all 3 phases, I felt like we did more good things for sure than bad. But there's also some things on film in all 3 phases that we had the opportunity to get cleaned up on to get better this week at.
Coach, you talked about special teams a little bit there, and I've noticed something that's kind of becoming a trend now is after the first 4, you've decided to go for 2 now a couple of weeks in a row. Talk about that decision-making process. I know that, you know, some coaches like to get out and just do that. And if you could walk us through the kind of the process that you go through when you decide, well, let's go for 1, go for 2.
Yeah, so for us, it was something that our special teams coordinator, Coach Kirby, brought to me in the summertime, and I've never been a big fan of it, to be honest with you. And then, you know, you start to do research and you start to read numbers, and really it comes down to, you know, your ability to have to have a why behind why you're doing what you're doing. And we like to think there's a little bit of a level of sophistication to it. That's probably debatable in some areas. But we also feel like if you put the right people in the right places, then you can put some controls in place to have answers to how a team is going to line up. And so, you know, Brady Simmons is kind of he's got the joystick, you know, so to speak. And that's how we installed it. Like, you know, you're playing Madden. OK, you got three, you know, really you have three choices. And so, you know, we've been able to hit all three phases, you know, of that package that we have installed. You know, we have five total phases installed in it. We're 3 for 4. We've executed 4 of the 5 phases. So that package in and of itself for us has been really successful. And there's built-in answers. You know, we screwed part of it up this past Friday. But at the same time, you know, when you run it, and I think we've ran it 5 or 6 times now, and there's been one bad decision in there, it's like, you know, you can live with the results. You know, we've been able to get 3 2-point conversions off of that look. That look has been good to us. And really it comes down to people. You know, we got to make sure we coach our people up to recognize what the defense is doing. And, you know, it's the old adage, you just got to take what they give you. And if you don't like it, if you don't like the look, or you don't feel comfortable with any of the 5 phases to it, you know, the 5 different layers to it, just regroup them, kick it, and keep it moving. And we have complete trust in what we're doing, and it's been a good package for us, you know, in terms of what goes into the thought process of whether or not to run it. You know, so much of it is momentum. You know, how do you go get that score? Do you hit a big chunk play? Is there a momentum reason to go run it, or is the situation, you know, we're going to try and steal a point here? And so some of that goes into, you know, some of that is just conversation that we have throughout the week. I like this. I don't like this. If this person's here, if they defend it this way, those are conversations that we have every day during those periods of practice that drive the decision making. And then the ultimate decision really is made Friday before the games, you know, 2 hours before kickoff. Like, we don't make it. We try not to make that decision in the heat of the moment or in emotion, because that's when things aren't as clean as they could be. So for us, we make that decision whether or not we're going to do it 2 hours before kick.
So, Coach, another great game on offense, having 391 total offensive yards. And one thing about this game last Friday was the running game really got going at 166 total yards. So the backs just seem to have a little bit different of a swagger to them. And all three of the backs got their yards. And what was the difference in that backfield last Friday?
Well, I think the difference for us was just being willing to take what they gave us, one. But two, was, you know, getting our offensive line, as the game went on, getting our offensive line in good matchups and in good positions to be able to get those guys loose. You know, when you look at how we started the game, we were one block away here, we're one block away there. Then we were able to rip a couple of runs, and then, you know, the secondary shell changes, and then you can put it in space a little bit, and then that loosens up, so it gives you more of the run game back. And so for us, I think it was twofold. One, our running backs were ready to break out. You know, they've been itching for an opportunity like this. Two, I think our offensive line kind of grew a little bit as a unit and started to execute and play better as that game went on, and that gave us an opportunity late in the game to really kind of solidify it, but also to kind of build some momentum going into this week.
Coach, not unlike last week when you played Avon, Pike is a West Side rival, certainly Brownsburg the same way, a team that's on the West Side. These games kind of have a feel to them that are maybe a little bit different than some of the other games that you play in the season because of that. So how do you keep the team from getting too chippy during the game when maybe the other team wants to try to get that way? How do you keep your Giants focused?
Well, it's something we work on, you know, as soon as the off season starts. You know, so much of what we try and drive home through our players in the off season, really year round, is just, you know, one, you have to control what you can control, and two, you're always going to be a byproduct of your actions, not your circumstances. And so, you know, we try and preach that with our kids in a big, big way. And then, you know, we're going to try and build some of those pressure moments in practice and build some of those pressure moments throughout. And, you know, if we try and use every moment as a teachable moment. But when you get into big games like this, you get into rivalry games like this, you know, you have to address it head on with your kids, you know, all week long. And we did that with our players. You know, the game's going to be kicked off at 7. The game's not played on social media. And we didn't own that on Monday. And, you know, some things got back to me that we addressed Monday in practice and after practice. And you know, we ain't doing that. We ain't going that way. It's never been about what this program's been about, trying to play games on social media. This program's about lining up and playing games on the football field. And for us, we wanted to make sure our guys knew and clearly understood that, you know, their actions were going to drive our level of success as a football team. And we need to make sure we have poise, and we need to make sure we're focused on playing the next play.
Coach, this defense had an all-around good game, only allowing 28. They did have a pick six in that second quarter, and then also had two other interceptions. But one thing that this defense has let up so far this season has been chunk plays. I know you mentioned it earlier. And what really goes through practice trying to defeat and not allow chunk plays?
Well, for us, you know, when you go back and start to break some of those chunk plays, you put a cut up together of those chunk plays and you start to analyze it. And some of it's experience. You know, we got it. I mean, the only way you're going to grow is through experience, right? Sometimes there's growing pains, and we're living that a little bit here through the first 3 weeks. Some of it's eye discipline, you know, and just, you know, it's easy to tell somebody, hey, you got to do your job. Well, you know, part of your job is reading that key and doing what that key tells you to do. Then you better be fixated on that key, and you better do what that key tells you to do. And so some of it's been eye discipline, and some of it's just been fundamental breakdowns, whether it's true individual technique on the back end, or whether it's, you know, whether it's a hip turn, or whether it's a missed tackle, you know, some of those things. So really, you got to start to identify, you know, what's the root cause of those explosives, and then how can you build those into practice, you know, into practice situations, so we can learn and grow in practice. And so we've really tried to do that. If it's fundamentals based, you know, we've tried to address fundamentals holistically. Okay, the eye discipline piece, you know, sometimes you got to change your location of where you're coaching in practice. So you can coach a player and truly look at his eyes the entire time. And then that immediacy of the feedback is paramount. Like, why'd you take your eyes off of this? You know, that's your key. So some of it's just doing a better job of coaching some of those situational pieces and the causes in practice. And so for us, we're just trying to build on it and continue to get better. The experience only happens either in practice situations or live bullets. And live bullets, you know, we don't have control over those. Uh-huh. Like, you know, that football team across from us is going to do what they need to do. And so, you know, we got to continue to grow and address the things that we can address in practice, which are the fundamental breakdowns and the, you know, just the true technical pieces of it, the eye discipline piece and the physical, you know, the job assignment pieces. We can fix those.
When you look at the season so far, this is, of course, the season where you start out with two back-to-back home games. And certainly, I think, for the first time since maybe 2017 – or maybe early 18, you feel like you guys have had a home field advantage with the Purple Rain and what they've done, and certainly great fan support as well. So what has been your reaction so far to kind of this resurrection of school spirit?
Well, yeah, I think it's a commitment from the administration, for one. You know, we have a great administration that spirit, community, Ben Davis – matters to, and so they've allowed for a platform for our students to grow and to have those experiences. And then when you look at the Purple Rain leaders being on the announcements day in and day out, really trying to drive the camaraderie and the cohesiveness of the athletic department as a whole, whether it's they're giving us the soccer schedule on the announcements, they're giving us the volleyball schedule, they're giving us the tennis schedule, they're giving us the football schedule. So it's out there. The word is out there. And, you know, I think some of it, I do think a large part of it is our administration's commitment to making sure that everybody in our building knows that Ben Davis High School is important, regardless of what it is. And then the Purple Rain leaders being willing to go on the announcements every day and promoting it has been huge. You know, they're obviously fantastic kiddos that are doing that. And then I think the other piece to it is, you know, you have to be willing, you have to be you have to give people a reason to come root for you. And and you do that by either A, winning in this community, or two, being about the right things. Right. And so, you know, we certainly want to be about the right things. Our guys are going to show up and play hard on Friday and represent the standard of Ben Davis football, which hopefully continues to bring people out to support them. But, you know, when you walk the halls and you build genuine relationships with fellow students, people are going to want to come support you. And, you know, I think that buzz is out there. I think we have a great group of young men that are trying to do that, treat people the right way and carry themselves the right way in school. You do that, you know, people are going to want to come support you. And so, you know, I think it's a testament to our senior leadership, and it's a testament to the players on our roster.
And that will wrap up this first segment of Inside Ben Davis Football. Next up, we'll talk about the Giants traveling to Center Grove to play the 10th ranked team in the country this Friday night. This is Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. We'll be back after this 1 minute break.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so bad to the point where he had to end up in the emergency room. And he has spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy to tell people not to smoke around your kids.
4 out of 10 U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants free help to quit smoking, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor. I'm Jackson White, and joining me is WBDG General Manager John Easter, and of course, your Ben Davis head football coach, Jason Simmons. So, Coach, I have bet you've seen Center Grove's win last week against number 2, Carmel. So, what are your takeaways from that one?
Well, I think when you turn the film on and you watch, you know, we have the week 2 game, we have the week 3 game that we exchanged with them, and you know, you turn the film on and they're good. You know, they don't have a lot of holes. You know, when you look at the kicking game, their kicking game is solid. You know, they don't have a kicker that has put the ball in the end zone a ton. But they still have good ball placement. They have good kick coverage, whether it's the kickoff group or the punt coverage group. They got an explosive returner, a punt returner, especially a punt returner in Kalen Carroll. Their kickoff return group plays hard. They're physical. So they don't have a lot of holes, you know, in terms of special teams. And then you look at them offensively, and they really stress you with formations and personnel groupings, because you know, they can line up in a spread look and get into two backs, or they can line up in a spread look and be in one back and have 4 different skill guys that could touch the ball and score it at any point. You know, they put the Carroll kid, number 1, out at wide receiver, and he can go knock the top off, you know, if you want to play man coverage and try and load the box up. They have the Wheat brothers, and they have Daniel Weems in the backfield. So, you know, they have those 4 skill guys, and then you look at their quarterback, and probably the thing that stands out to me the most is his accuracy. You know, he can put the football where he wants to put it. And, you know, when a quarterback can do that, it makes it that much harder to defend, you know, because you have to be exact as a defensive back in coverage to really combat his ability to put the football wherever he wants to put it. And they have a big physical offensive line group. And then, you know, they can get into some tight end looks and run their more traditional wing T stuff. And then now you got to look at run fits. You got to get people to the point of attack in a hurry, because that ball gets into the line of scrimmage so quickly. And so, they have, you know, kind of a multifaceted offense that can stress you in a heartbeat. And then you look at them defensively, and it starts with those 2 defensive ends that they play. You know, 91 and 32 are really good football players. Mm-hmm. 91's a 4-year starter. 32 now is a 2-year starter, 2.5-year starter. They're long, as disruptive as they are getting to the quarterback. They're equally as disruptive getting into passing lanes and knocking balls down because of how long they are. They have two guys on the inside that have good takeoffs and that can go make plays. And then you look second level wise, and you know, they play well in space. They complement the defensive line extremely well. And then you look at them in the secondary, and they're sound. You know, they know and understand the scheme. They know where their coverage help is. They know what their coverage responsibilities are. And it's a good football team. It's a good football team. So, you know, we're certainly excited for the test. And you know, we've had two good days of practice here leading up to it, and you know, we got to go have a third one tomorrow, and then worry about winning Thursday when we get to Thursday.
Coach, when you look at Center Grove, obviously over on the other sideline is Coach Eric Moore, multiple state championship winner, and also state championship winner in track as well. So he's coached not only football state champions but also track state championships. He's done just about everything probably once when it comes to football. Certainly, I think you've seen a lot of change from him in the last couple of years. You mentioned the spread, which is something that you probably wouldn't have seen out of a Center Grove team 5 or 10 years ago. So Coach Moore has been very upfront and honest that he's had some health issues during the off season. So what are your thoughts on Coach Moore and what do you think he'll bring to the game on Friday night?
Well, it's going to be the sixth time, you know, as a head coach that I've matched up with him, you know, over the last 4 years now. You know, we've obviously seen him twice a year the last 2 years, and then, you know, once in 2018. And, you know, what I can tell you about Coach Moore is, one, he's a daggone good football coach, right? His record in Florida proves it. His record in Indiana proves it. He's a program builder. He treats people the right way. He treats his players the right way when you watch him from a distance. You know, my respect and admiration for him is extremely high. You know, you look at what he's done at Center Grove over the years, and just watching him, you know, wherever it may be, just the way he treats fellow coaches, the way he treats his players, really resonates and stands out to me. The way his players play for him, I think speaks to who he is as a person as well, and how much he cares about those guys. You know, you see the alumni in that program involved, which just adds another layer to the story. And then just how he's handled me personally, I think in 2018, you know, I think we've earned his respect a little bit, if you will. And so, you know, he's been good to me. You know, I want nothing but the best for him health-wise. You know, even after last year's game in the semi-state, you know, after both games last year, you know, he was a first-class person. So, you know, it's easy to do that when you win, but, you know, I watched him lose 2 years ago. I watched him lose in the state championship game, and he was the exact same way, you know. So I think it tells a story about who he is as a person, you know. And obviously with the health struggles that he's going through now, you want nothing but the best for he and his family. And you know, you got to, you know, I've texted with him multiple times over the last several months, not here in the last couple of weeks, but, you know, just wishing him good health and just, you know, trying to encourage him in any way, shape, or form and trust that the good Lord's going to take care of him here moving forward.
So, Coach, this Center Grove team is not the number one ranked team in Indiana for no reason, and I think they've proved that so far this season. What's going through the players' minds right now going against the number one ranked team in 6A?
Well, you know, I think it's real easy to get consumed in that. You know, if you take that path, like our guys know, they know the opponent. You know, obviously we've seen them twice a year the last 2 years, so they know the opponent. I think this generation of player probably knows their opponent better than any other generation, just because of access, whether it's social media, whether it's 7-on-7, whether it's camps. You know, they have access to these guys way more than in the 90s when I was playing. And so they know the opponent, right? And so I think really what's been interesting about our guys the last 2 days is there hasn't been a lot of talk about the opponent. The talk has been really truly centered on, okay, this is the to-do list for each position group in terms of what we need to get better at and what we need to own this week. And then you get in the middle of practice and you have guys in each position group starting to coach each other, you know. And so with that, that's been interesting to me, because now we're starting to develop some of that player-led leadership, player-driven leadership, player-driven team. And it, why? Well, we've given them a central focus. The central focus is on getting us better, right? And when you're truly trying to represent the standard of Ben Davis football, every game should be a big game because you get an opportunity to put that. This week we're putting a white jersey on. You know, last week we put a purple jersey on, said Giants on it. This week we get the opportunity to put a white jersey on, says Ben Davis. Like, though, you only get so many of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if you spend time chasing something that you have no control over, then you're not going to be at your best come Friday. And so for us, we have to worry about getting ourselves right, and having that to-do list for every position group across the board on our football team has helped our focus this week. So I can't tell you. I can tell you how our kids are acting in practice. I can tell you how our kids are acting in the weight room and in the hallways and when they stop in my office. And the focus really is on being the best version of Ben Davis football that we can be on Friday. Mm-hmm.
When you look at Center Grove, a team that certainly people are going to start. I mean, they won all of them last year, did not lose a game last year, and so far they're undefeated this year. So people will start, no doubt, comparing them to some of the 2017 Ben Davis teams, 2018 Warren Central, 2001 Ben Davis, you know, a lot of the great teams that I think the largest class has seen, some of the Carmel teams certainly. Where do you think so far, where do you think Center Grove fits in with some of those all-time great teams? Certainly maybe early, because they still have a long way to go, and all those previous teams I referenced walked out with hardware, but what do you think so far about where this team might end up?
Well, I think they certainly have to be in that conversation. I think anytime you play in the MIC, and really you got to play the MIC twice to win the 6A state title, and you've won 17 games in a row, you've earned the right to be in that conversation. You know, and when you look at what they're doing defensively to some teams, and you know they're having a bunch of success defensively, which really sets the table for their offense. And so when you play in this league where there's no gimmies from week to week. And you have to earn everything that you get, and more than likely you're going to play the league twice to go win a state title. Like, and you win 17 of those games in a row, you're worthy of being in that conversation. And you turn the tape on, and they're worthy of being in that conversation. And, you know, again, I think it speaks to what Coach Moore has built there from a program standpoint. And, you know, they've done a good job week in and week out having their football team ready to play.
So, Coach, this team did take you out last season in semi-state. Could this be at all, like, I know you probably don't want to tell your players, but like a revenge game in any way?
No, yeah, there's different people in different spots. You know, some of the names and faces are the same, but it's not something we talk about. You know, if that's the case, then, you know, that revenge tale on these jokers would be pretty daggone big. You know, they knocked us out the last 2 years in the semi-state. So it's not – I mean, we can't focus on that. If we're worried about revenge and we're worried about what happened at the end of 2020, we ain't worried about the opportunity to get better tomorrow. I think everybody knows. You know, we know they knocked us out last year in the semi-state. They know they beat us in the semi-state. And it is what it is, man. Like, we can't go back and change it. The more we try and relive it, the less we're getting ourselves better to go control what we can control on Friday.
And finally, before we wrap up this week four edition of Inside Ben Davis Football, Coach, final thoughts?
Yeah, we're excited for the opportunity. I mean, it's, you know, for us, it's an opportunity to go back on the road. We opened the season on the road at Lucas Oil. Haven't been on the road since. And you know, we're gonna make the trek down 37 South, and we're gonna go tee it up, and we're gonna give it the best shot that we got.
And that will basically wrap up this edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. Thanks as always to Coach Simmons for joining us tonight. Do not forget to tune in Friday, starting at 6:15, as Peyton Scholl and myself, Jackson White, will be calling the action as the Giants take on Center Grove at Ray Skillman Stadium. This has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.